Although today, or this week, well, this week is Parshat Hashavua, is Parshat Vayelech. I'm not going to talk about the Parshat Hashavua. Not that I have anything against Parshat Vayelech. It's a wonderful parsha, the shortest parsha of the possible of the year. It's only 30 psukim. But considering that in less than 24 hours it's going to be Rosh Hashanah, I felt that it would be important to talk a little bit about Rosh Hashanah. Tomorrow night is not only Rosh Hashanah, but it is also the first day of Aseret Yemei Teshuva. And therefore, one would expect to see in the davening of Rosh Hashanah a great deal of the davening that's necessary or that we see in, as we during Aseret Yemei Teshuva, as we approach Yom Kippur. And yet, if you take a look at the davening of Rosh Hashanah, take a look at the davening of Rosh Hashanah, it is amazing what's not there. The Rambam tells us in Hilchos Tshuva that the main part of Tshuva is Vidui. And we know that on Yom Kippur we say Vidui 10 times, the Ashamnu Bagadnu and the Alchet, and we say it at night, and we say it in the morning, and we say it in Mincha, and we say 10 times throughout Yom Kippur. How many times do we say Vidui on Rosh Hashanah? The answer is none. We don't say Vidui on Rosh Hashanah. And we don't say the Yud Gimel Midos on Rosh Hashanah. And we don't have any mention of Rosh Hashanah, of asking HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Slicha, Mechila, Slach Lanu, Mechal Lanu, Kaper Lanu. And that's what Tshuva is about. To coming along and saying we did chatai, and please forgive us for that. And we have no mention of this on Rosh Hashanah. So how is Rosh Hashanah, the first day of Aseret Yemei Teshuva, if throughout the davening on Rosh Hashanah we don't seem to have a mention of anything that's required of us to do Tshuva? So I want to share with you an explanation given by Rav Nevinsel, one of the Sinchos to Rosh Hashanah. Rav Nevinsel explains as follows. Let's say a person has a certain wall, a certain structure, a certain building that he wants to demolish. So how does he demolish this wall? How does he demolish the building? He can come over to the wall with a sledgehammer and start at the top and start smashing away brick by brick at the wall. And little by little knock down the wall piece by piece. It's a larger building, he takes one of those big, huge wrecking balls and he starts smashing it all over the place from the top, working his way down to get to the bottom. But there's another way. Says Rav Nevinsel. If a person wants to come along and destroy this wall, destroy the structure, that is, he can take a shovel and he can start digging until he gets to the foundation of this wall and then knock away at the foundation. And if you undermine the foundations of the wall, you undermine the foundations of the building, and the whole building will come collapsing down because the whole structure is weakened. And that, says Rav Nevinsel, is the difference between Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. On Yom Kippur, we attack the building that we have built this whole year, a building that's comprised brick after brick of Averos and Chatoyim. And we attack it on Yom Kippur brick by brick. And we go down chet after chet, we keep knocking away brick after brick, each and every chet. But the approach on Rosh Hashanah is different. In Rosh Hashanah, we don't go after the building, after all the chataim brick by brick. We try to undermine the foundation, at least to weaken the foundation on which this entire edifice of chataim has been built over the past 12, or in this case, 13 months. What's the nature of Rosh Hashanah? I think Rav Berzin spoke about it last week. The nature of Rosh Hashanah is that we're mamlich HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We coronate HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And if you take a look at the davening, the tefillos throughout Rosh Hashanah, it's one theme that keeps coming up over and over again. It's even of Melech. HaMelech HaKadosh, V'simloch HaTal Levadecha, Melech Al Kol Haaretz. Throughout davening, there's all this entire idea of Malchus. One of the high points, if you get to Shul early enough, not even that so early, the end of Sukkah, the Zimra, Nechazim for Shachritz, takes over. And he goes, HaMelech! Just that one word. And the Sadigon explains that one of the reasons behind Tkiyas Shofar is you blow the shofar is a recollection. When the idea that we're coronating the king, so you blow the trumpet. That's the mahus, that's the very nature of what Rosh Hashanah is about. And if you want to know how this edifice of Chatoim and Averis that we built up the entire year, what's its foundation built on? The foundation is built on the fact that we simply did not recognize sufficiently the entire year that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech. We may pay lip service to the fact that he's the Melech, but the truth is, throughout much of the year, we really don't believe it. We really don't believe that he controls Parnassa. We really don't believe that he controls our success in education. We really don't believe that he will determine what goes on in our shidduchim, in our lives, in many different our relationships with others. We really think that it's 99% my hishtabos, yeah, a little bit of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We put so much effort into it. And we ignore the fact that he's a Melech. Let me give you some simple examples. How it is that we really don't believe that our HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Melech, who controls, who sees, who governs everything that goes on. Put yourself back a little bit over 75 years ago. And you're talking on the telephone. There were telephones then around. And you're talking to a friend of yours. And there's an elderly gentleman sitting in the room listening to your conversation. The conversation happens to take place in a small little shtetl called Radin in Poland. The elderly gentleman, his name is Rabbi Saul Meyer. Commonly referred to him as the Chofetz Chaim. The Chofetz Chaim is listening to your conversation. He's sitting right here. And you're talking to your friend. He understands every word you're going to say. How much Lashon Hara will you speak? I would bet that you would be extremely careful. Chofetz Chaim is standing right here. He's listening. You're going to speak Lashon Hara, the Chofetz Chaim is standing right here. You're going to start telling gossip and he's listening to everything you have to say. You'll look it. You probably won't even say hello on the phone. Your friend went with you. That's how you would react. So now, 75 years later, Chofetz Chaim isn't around. He's not in it. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is there. He's listening to everything you say. He's writing down everything you say. He doesn't care any less about Lashon Hara than the Chofetz Chaim cared about. So why do we speak Lashon Hara when we're on the phone? Because we really don't believe that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is right there. If you would ask us, where's HaKadosh Baruch Hu? He says, Hashem is here, Hashem is there, Hashem is truly everywhere. I know where he is. I know the song. Of course he's everywhere. But what does that have to do with my phone conversation? Because we really don't believe, or we really don't act as if we believe, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is everywhere. You finish eating, and hopefully you say bracha achrona, hopefully you say brachas tamosa. So how long does it take us to bench? How long does it take us to say bracha achrona? How much kavana do we put into it? If we really, really felt that HaKadosh Baruch Hu was right there, we certainly probably spend more time thanking Aunt Susan for a present that she gave us and giving you a little bit more attention than unfortunately do when we're mumbling Bar Nefashis and Rala Nichio Birkas Hamazon. Why is it? A few days ago, the Nedak of Binyamin Zilber was missed. At the age of 91, I think. Chazon Ish, many, many years ago, gave him a nickname. Called him Binyamin HaTzadik. It's out of Gemara, this person, Binyamin HaTzadik. And I remember once reading, somebody said to me, if you go to Rav Binyamin Zilber's house, and he offers you a cup of tea or something to drink, you should accept his wine. He says, because if you drink, he'll drink. Yeah. He says, because if he drinks, he's going to have to say Bar Nefesh. Yeah. You have to see how he says the Bari Nefasha. He says the Bari Nefasha like you try to daven Yila. That's the kavana that he has when he's saying the Bari Nefasha. Like we're in the middle of Yila, so we try to muster a lot of kavana. That's how he says the Bari Nefasha every single day. Why?